Welcome to iConversations. I'm Laura Fantacci, co-founder of Wardrobe Icons. And today I'm in downtown New York at the office of editor-in-chief of InStyle magazine, Laura Brown. Firstly, a confession. This conversation nearly didn't happen. Due to uncontrollable circumstances, I almost missed my slot with Laura. However, her good humor and grace meant that we were able to record, and I'm so thankful that we did, as she is quite honestly one of the nicest people I've ever met. Sisterhood is the word we picked for Laura, and she is a testament to that. Her inclusive and supportive message radiates out of everything she does, from the pages of InStyle to her presence on social media. She is a ceaseless champion of women and goes out of her way to make everyone feel part of the team. During our conversation, there was one thing she said that I found particularly inspiring. You don't have to be intimidating to be respected. This sentiment isn't one that is often shared, but it's one she practices every day. Laura's positivity is contagious, and I can't think of a better person to kick off the new year with. So enjoy. Hi, Laura.
Hi. Welcome to my luxurious office.
It is beautiful in here.
Oh, isn't it? Yes, it's a very elegant, tiny, small box area.
The mini magazine.
The mini, it's my favorite thing, actually, is the mini wall.
I know, I've heard. Because you were on the cover of our magazine.
I was, and I wanted the centerfold, but I settled for the cover.
And you were talking about the mini magazine amongst many other things.
Yes, I love it because it's so immediately gratifying to see what you sort of dreamt up. And my team kind of makes fun of me a lot because I will be, they'll be at a shoot, and they'll send me something on my phone. I'm like, make a mini, and they're like, we're still going. And I'm like, don't care, I want to see it, I want to see it. So things end up being like flung up here from the back of digital cameras. And I just go, oh, it's real now, somebody showed up.
Well, I was rereading your interview, and it kind of reinforced the word choice that we made for you. I hope you're okay with it.
Go on.
Because it's sisterhood. Because
I'm an only child. No, I'm not actually. I shouldn't say that. My half-sister gets mad at me.
I think that
raised
you,
as an only child.
It's a good
I'm not
going
to lie. I love you, Emily.
You did say in your interview, yeah. I'm an only child. I just want to make friends.
I am. I'm desperate.
That's probably why.
Yeah, I'm
you've done a really good job at
Thanks.
Creating this, you know, inclusive and participating sisterhood. Of
yeah, I like ladies.
Yeah, you do.
I love the ladies. No, I do. I think that it's pretty great when I get to meet all these super clever, accomplished, talented, achieving women, driven women, and I'm sort of in the epicenter of it in New York, obviously. But people take care of each other, in especially more than you would think. Especially in this business, a bit of a cliche that everybody's out to get the other one.
That's the thing.
I've never experienced it. I think because I don't breed an atmosphere that is like that, and
no,
I think
you
are what you bring, and I think people around you respond to that. So I just come in, I'm happy to be there. I expect people to do the work, but they're happy to be here too. And so you just get on with it, really.
Yes, but
you have a glass of wine.
It's not the usual, you know, it's not the usual way. I started working in magazines in 2000.
Oh, where were you?
I started at Tatler.
Whoa!
And
I'm far too common to work there.
Oh, well, as an Italian, so was I. Hence why I'm still,
oh
you know,
my
I'm not there. But I think that at the time, there was a real, you almost had to be scared of your boss. It was like this big,
right,
yes?
It's so, I find that so old-fashioned.
Well, you're kind of the antithesis of this.
Yeah, I think that I'm, when do I try to be, sometimes I try to be theatrically scary, like I shout out of my office to see if anyone turns around. They don't. No, I think that you don't have to be scary to be respected.
Yes, I agree.
And I think that everybody knows that I'm here to do the work and so are they, and I expect what I want to be achieved to be achieved, but I'm also really, I have trust in my team to do it, and they're here because they can do the job. So when I know that, and then they do produce, we can skip on rainbows all day. It's not a problem, you know? I know that they will do what I ask them to do, within reason, unless it's jump off a bridge, but I think that there's no, I have much more easy communication and frank and straightforward communication with my team because I'm not scary, because the door is open, because I have not eaten an unwatched lunch at my desk in 3 goddamn years. I don't know, they've seen me chew, these guys.
But how do you think that this attitude sort of reflects with your work at InStyle? This warm and welcoming, humorous style?
Well, I think the slogan I have for InStyle is everybody's in. And the idea is everybody's welcome. You don't finish reading InStyle and feel worse.
Mm.
you feel better. You don't feel like, what do I always say, the right body, the right boyfriend, or the right garden.
Mm.
You don't feel lacking. You go, oh, I might like that pair of shoes. Great. Or that woman said something really interesting. Or that's fun. Or, wow, what a beautiful picture. Like, or I might go and donate to this organization that they're promoting. But in no way do you feel less than or other or not invited. And that's just exactly the same way I am. It is... Yeah, to be sort of metaphorical, I guess that the magazine is an open door, and the open door is to my office, and that's how it is. And I think that is, I still don't understand why this is seen as so rare. Mm. You know what I mean? And because when I got here, it was 3 months before Trump was elected, mm-hmm. and I had to react to that pretty quickly. And there's just so much, and I'm not being like, oh, but you know, there's so much else to deal with day to day. So why do you have to adhere to this cliche of fashion, of being other and remote or cooler than you, or you're not invited? It's hard enough to get out of bed, especially in the bloody New York. You're waking up to impeachment hearings every morning right now, you know what I mean? So be kind and do good work. It's a relief.
Did you find that when you started at InStyle, you had to make a lot of changes to implement that thought? Because when you were growing up, did you feel left out when you were reading magazines back in Australia?
I know, I mean, geographically, yeah.
Yes.
I mean, because I was so far away. I didn't feel, I mean, I felt, no, because I mythologized it a lot. I was in Sydney and it was far away and it was like Oz, you know, no pun intended, or pun totally intended. But, when I came here, I was not breaking news, that sort of woman that was like, my people are coming, get out, you know. I sort of said to everybody, it was a larger staff then, because it was a sort of different structure and it was a different publishing company, it was Timing. And I was kind of like, okay, I want to do all this cool stuff. Who wants to do it? And I gave everybody the opportunity to say yes. And the staff that I really loved, I called them the sunflowers, because their little faces would just light up mm-hmm. when I'd go, do you want to just do this cool thing? And they go, oh! So this is me being a sunflower. Anyway, my petals are unfurling. But I could sense that in them, because it had been a bit static for a while, so they were given the opportunity to try different things and be more adventurous and try new photographers and writers and ideas. And so the vast majority of them welcomed that. You know, being sort of woken from a bit of a rote way of being. So, no, and then, I made a couple of changes a few months in that maybe I should have done earlier, but I am a bit of I'm no longer a pleaser, but I'm like, oh, can't we all just get along and it's going to be great? And then sometimes it doesn't work, you know, and that's part of being a boss. But on the whole, I mean, the team is pretty much what I walked into.
It's
and we're really proud of ourselves, and it's been 3 years.
3 years.
Yeah, over 3 years now. Yeah.
And what's next? What else can we expect in the sisterhood?
A good lie down.
You have some amazing, you've got your come and sit on Laura's lap. What's that about?
So
tell me about
dumb.
It.
Dumb. It doesn't. I don't know. It doesn't mean
come
anything.
Up with that?
I didn't. I just. Well, I did, but I didn't. I didn't go like. I was with Woody Harrelson,
mm-hmm.
Who I'm friendly with, and I don't know. Well, Woody's just funny, obviously. Breaking news, but I. We were taking a picture together and I was like, just get on. Just get on my lap. Like, I quite like just like this aversion, especially like a big dude sitting on my lap. I just thought it was funny. And then I just ended up just kept doing it. And then it became a thing. And it's really dumb. It's so dumb. But it does make me laugh. And just to see like who I can handle. Never like.
Has anyone
like,
ever said no? No.
I mean, I read the room pretty well.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, I remember I met Richard E. Grant and I was like, I love you. Can you please get on? And he went, fine. I went, of course. And I was like, I love you, Richard E. Grant. I mean, I don't do it all the time, but something like a lot of like young actresses like to get on now. But it is very dumb. But I think it's a, I sometimes do it at fashion shows and I might get a look or two, which does make me laugh. So I'm like, I have even more fun. I'm like, get on, let's go. But no, I think that I've always been very open, I've always been very, everybody's always been invited, but I feel like I have sort of tripled down on it. Now, if around me is very stiff, and then I sort of do it more.
But you seem to have...
As torment, you know?
You have all these incredible celebrity friends.
Oh my God, I do.
And are they your real friends?
Every single one. No, some.
Yeah.
Of course, but they're just people. Like, they, I mean, here's the thing with celebrities. I say to the young ladies all the time, I say envy no one. Why do you envy a celebrity? Because she's got money and she has a personal trainer or whatever, and she gets a free handbag and she's got a big house. She has her privacy invaded more than you ever will your whole life. She doesn't know she can trust everybody around her. She has to maintain some sort of aesthetic or attitude for her whole life. She's constantly judged on it. Like, there could be things you don't know behind the scenes, marriage issues, fertility problems, family stuff. Everybody has their shit.
Problems.
And so, you know, yes, the women who are friends of mine who are actors, we're friends because we have a common ground in some way. You know, I don't chase celebrity friends, but yeah, I do put a celebrity on the cover of the magazine 12 times a year. I've been in magazines in New York for, I mean, bizarre in here, 14 years. I've met a decent amount of women, some of which I've befriended.
Yeah.
It would be weird if I didn't. I would have had no social skills, you know, but this is my business. And oftentimes the women that I've recently befriended have been women who are known because I've met them on a shoot or an interview or at a party. And that's
it's
how it
circle.
Is.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I have my other circle. I have my Aussie friends and I have my best girlfriends in New York and everything else. But, you know, it is my job. And thankfully I have made friends through my job because that's what we all want. Right?
And what are the qualities that attract you in these women? Like, which are the things that make these women part of your sisterhood? There is a specific type, I think.
I think humor.
Yes.
Absolute humor. Oftentimes they're not kids. They're either like little baby kids, like Kiernan Shipka, I've known since she was 12 and she just turned 20, or they're a bit older, in their 50s or like my age, mid-40s, 50s, 60s, who've kind of seen some stuff and lived a little bit, like someone like Allison Janney, who is just like, can have a martini like no one's business. Laura Dern, who's grown up in Hollywood but is the most grounded woman and curious and decent woman that I've ever met. They're that type. They're not swishing around, you know, posing all day, I guess. I like to say they're proper ladies. You know, and when someone's a proper lady, I'm like, it doesn't mean that they're necessarily lady-like. But they're just proper. They have equity. They've earned their stripes professionally. They know what's up. They're kind to people. Love a drink generally.
Badasses?
They're total badasses.
Describe that to me. What is a badass woman?
A badass woman is in my marketing slogan. No, I do say a badass woman show up, speak up, and get things done. So there is a frankness to it. It is not about. I was saying history is filled with women who've done one such seismic thing and it's changed the game for other women, but I like to focus on the women who've been more consistent and maybe have not necessarily had all the attention all the time, but have sort of plugged away. If it's an immigration lawyer or an astronaut or there's all sorts, an actress. It's very, I admire Tarana Burke, who's become my friend, who is the founder of Me Too, who not only advocates for assault survivors, but really likes a mojito. You know what I mean? But like, they're all ladies. You know what I mean? But I think it's a real frankness and a real drive, and it's not a mercenary drive. It's just like sort of knowing what's good and right, and focusing on that. And I think that in the culture in the last 3 years in the States, it has come down to what's decent and what's not. And I think the divides in this country come from people who have empathy and people who don't.
Mm.
So I actually think the most badass thing to have is empathy, because it doesn't. A lot of us ladies, we could just surf around and go to Trump's golf club and be blonde and find a rich husband. But it's empathy, isn't it? You know what I mean? It's caring about other people.
And what are the issues that you want to speak up for?
No, I think for us, things that are very close to my heart are gun control.
Mm-hmm.
For obvious reasons, I think it's just absolutely insane. And it's a hard one. Sometimes I'm conscious of not being like, I'm the Aussie girl who has been kindly hosted by the US and then going, in Australia, we banned semi-automatics, you know, right after a massacre happened, but we did though. That when things are just nonsensical, and I have a bunch of my girlfriends work with, I'm a great admirer of Shannon Watts at Mom's Demand, and Julianne Moore works at Mom's Demand, Laura Dern works with Everytown Mom's Demand. Yeah, I also immigration. Well, look, breaking news, I am one. But again, it's empathy. Yes, not everybody can come and live here. I mean, that's the same of every country everywhere. But treat them humanely, you know, when you do that. So we do speak to we do immigration stuff quite a bit, and women, you know, Me Too, Time's Up. We just did a hosted a dinner for Jodi Kantor and Megan Toohey from New York Times, and it was a great, like, it was like journalists were there and lawyers were there and like Katie Couric and like Lala Anthony were there. It was this great mix, and it's just women looking out for each other.
It's very empowering.
Yeah, just being like, okay, that's not right, this behavior. And then what was lovely to getting to know Megan and Jodi is the women that helped them out when they were doing their reporting. There's a big network from people like Jenny Connor and like Lena Dunham, who were in LA, through to like Cindy Levy at Glamour magazine here, through to, we're all just introducing them to people that can help them do the right thing. And there's this sort of tacit, casual way of doing it that isn't like, oh yes, I hooked up Jodi and da da da, and where's my badge? It's just like, oh yeah, no, you should talk to her. And this whole table was just kind of rumbling with, oh, you know, you should meet, you know. And then we ended up connecting a bunch of women afterwards, and it just felt really natural and good, you know. And it doesn't have to be so forced, and not everything has to be a billboard. It doesn't have to be like, what's that women's platform? Like, I hate that. Like, Badass came out of me reading about a trans woman who was serving, and Trump had attempted to ban, mm-hmm. it now has, mm-hmm. Trans folks from serving. And I was reading about her, and I just said out loud, I was like, what a badass. Became a thing. It wasn't me going, what's like a women's empowerment platform? Like, it's like I don't like that. I think it's patronizing. I think it's disingenuous. I think it has to come from like the gut. And I was saying to somebody the other day, at the moment, my greatest professional contribution has the word ass in it. What a legacy. A leg assy. Yeah.
And can we just go back in time a little bit? Because you grew up in Australia.
Oh, I did.
Were you, I want to picture you like, you know, 7-year-old, 8-year-old, you said you started reading magazines quite early, wanting to be part of this group. Like, what drove you? What were the things that you were thinking? And what changes did you want to bring?
I mean, I didn't know what changes I wanted to bring that young. I knew I wanted to be part of something that was so far away from where I was. I think, look, geography, you know, you are in...
You felt excluded. Like, you talk about geography a lot. Is Australia that...
No, it's really far.
It makes you feel...
No, it's really far, but also remember when I'm like 7 or 8, there's no internet, there's nothing.
Of course.
We're just far away. And so we would get magazines 3 months later.
Yes.
We had a distance in every single... Apart from like the TV news, we had distance in every way. So, one, if you're far away from something physically, but then you are mentally, because you feel like a culture is happening where you're not, and I love where I'm from, and I'm proud of it, and I have the best. But you just, especially when you want to be a journalist, when you want to be in magazines, and the center of magazines is not where you are. It's like anything. You want to be a lawyer, you want to be an astronaut, you want to be you want to be where it is. And so I just wasn't. You know what I mean? It's much better now. You know, I mean, God, it's great. And like the Australian magazines get as much attention, if not more, than a lot of the magazines here, because I think they're trying harder, honestly, but they have more imagination. And but I wanted to be part. I just wanted to be where things sort of began, and see things through my own eyes. I didn't want it to be a second step away. I didn't want to be a step removed. I just want to be like, can I just make up my mind about that fashion show or that art exhibition or that whatever it is? Can I just see that, please?
But was fashion was it
culture? It was culture. Fashion glamour. I mean, I guess like movies, art, like just, yeah, arts, culture, I think. It wasn't, no, I wasn't like a, I've never been a particularly like fashion victim-y girl. Like I'm not, I mean, I wasn't buying up all the Celine. Yeah. Like I appreciate Celine, but I'm more of a jeans and a boot kind of person. Oh, I always have been. So it wasn't like I was dying over luxury clothes and everything else, particularly not now. So it wasn't the aesthetic of, like, I was growing up and looking at, you know, the Vogue's and Harper's Bazaar with Lindbergh and all the supermodels and all of that sort of stuff. And that is so seductive. You know, George Michael's Freedom video, you know, they were the real markers of my, was it Freedom 90, my teenage years. I was 16 by this point. But that's what imprints on you. And I didn't even leave Australia till I moved to London, and I was 22.
Wow.
Yeah, I hadn't gone anywhere. We just put my backpack on, bought a one-way ticket, $585, I remember. $585, and put a backpack on and went all around Europe for, you know, 3 months. But that was my first time. It was very typical, like me. Like, we didn't, Mum and I didn't have much money when we grew up, so we weren't like going on big trips or anything. And then one time I go anywhere, I moved to Europe one way. That's a very Aussie thing to do.
She supported that, though.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah,
she still does.
Yes, yes, yes. She's. I just won this big fancy award in, there it is, in Australia the other day.
What is it? Hold on.
It's called the Fashion Laureate.
Oh, Australian, wow.
Australian Fashion Laureate.
Fantastic.
And it's very
Congratulations.
Heavy. Thank you. And so it's nice. It's really lovely to be, recognised at home. And also because Mum lives there, so she can see it with her own eyes. You know what I mean? So, she's on my Instagram and everything else, but she can, put in a fashion industry that is in your hometown. The context is just all that clearer and more meaningful, I think, to both of us. So
you mentioned Instagram.
I've heard of it.
I want to prompt everyone who's listening to follow you, because there is something to be said about how depressing Instagram is becoming, and how the feedback that we get is that people feel left out, and your Instagram feels encompassing, if that's even a word. I don't know if you're making it up.
Well, welcoming, or yeah,
and welcoming and empowering. And you obviously, the moment you start following you, they want to become your friends. You have that power. Do you realize that you have that power?
I've heard that. Thank you. I think I like it. Look, I actually, so funny. I was actually just scrolling through Instagram on the way to work, but I don't. I do look at it, but I don't spend a lot of time scrolling.
Engage.
No, I know I do engage on mine, but yes. I spend a lot. My majority of my time spent on Instagram is if I'm posting a thing and then people are writing to that, and then I'm interacting with them.
Yes.
I'm not just sort of mindlessly hours later scrolling through somebody's party they went to. Some of my greatest things I follow are like nature photographers, but I don't follow a lot of influencers. I mean, some I do. It's just not my thing. But I also, because I'm an editor, I think you can kind of smell bullshit. I hope all of us can smell. I'm getting better at smelling bullshit on Instagram. I have a particularly keen sense of of bullshit smell. I'm also old enough that I don't get sad about that I wasn't invited to a place or the idea of something that is exclusionary to me.
But that is a very mature way of seeing things.
Well, yeah.
It takes time.
Yeah.
Were you always like that? Did you?
No, I think I was more hustly when I was younger. Yeah. I mean, I wanted to go to everything, of course. I mean, I could happily have dinner at 5:30. and I will. But I used to, when I was like just starting out in New York, I was like 28, 29, I'd go to like two drinks and then a dinner. Like, I'm like, how do I even do that now if I have two things in the evening? I want to have a stroke. But hang on, what's your question?
The question was, how do you use Instagram?
But there's I think that how I use it is, it was funny because my old boss here is now left because Time Inc is no longer, but he said I was hired as much for my social media as I was for being able to make a magazine, because it was more that I. He knew I could put a magazine together. I'd been doing that a long time, but it was more that I had a good sense of myself and a natural way to communicate, and I think that that was appealing to them. I don't, it's sort of to the earlier point of celebrities and everything else, that I think a big key to it is I'm respectful to people that I put online or Instagram, but I'm not reverent. And that makes everybody feel more comfortable. There is a trust there that I've earned, obviously, but I can muck around and follow Melissa McCarthy around with a phone when we're doing a cover and just make her do improv all day. That's okay, because she knows me and we have a certain level, and that's all right. So I am the one. I am a lot of places, which my team is now you're going to fall down. But I do like to go, and I show up for people if they show up for me. So I try to go to the shoot if I can, and it gets all these little morsels that I put on my Insta, or we put on Insta's Instagram, but also, so it's my life and everything else, but also it is to showcase my work and our work, and I'm lucky that I have that, and I a few times a month, at least, especially with a big cover break, I'm like, here is the work, and Instagram is a magazine. At the end of the day, some people go, "Well, print or magazine is a challenge." I'm like, "What is Instagram? You're the editor of your own magazine. This is the same thing." So, but I am able to go, here is the image that we created. Bang. Here is another one. Bang. Here's the video behind it. Here's the concept. Here's what the inspiration was. Blah 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 blah. Here's a lady talking about it. So I have at least five or six things that come from every single shoot that we do that I can put out there, and because I've made something, and that is really what I say to a lot of the the kids or the influencers or the young kids. I'm like, you've got to make something. You've got to have something to show for yourself. I can muck around and throw people on my lap all day because I make something. Because I can throw a magazine down once a month. I can look at this mini wall and go, I did that. So I have that equity. So I can do damn cartwheels on Instagram if I want. And I find being able to do that, I think, for everybody, for everyone, is really reassuring. And that gives you always a base, a creative base, to so you don't feel like you're so adrift or you're not comparing yourself to others at the party or whatever it is. It's like, oh, no, but I did something. And that just makes you sit up a little straighter.
So if we can sort of leave our listeners with a little bit of practical advice on, you know, the women that are flicking through the magazines and are not feeling great about themselves, mm-hmm. they're feeling left out and not part of it, what can they do to feel that confidence and be part and feel that they can be part of this bigger picture and do something that feels like they're part of the sisterhood?
Make something and buy a lipstick. No, but I think that I hope in everything that I can control that women never feel like that. I would like women to remove things from their lives that make them feel like that.
That's a very good advice.
Generally.
Yes.
You don't need it. No one is better than you. The door shouldn't be closed to you. Everybody has something to offer. Everybody has their own power. That's why actually the word empowering sometimes I don't go for, because I think it suggests that women don't have it. I think we all do. It might take you a minute longer to find it, but no one should feel less than. If it's, as long as I say, like, listen to like your inner 8-year-old boy, and your inner 8-year-old boy is like, this makes me feel good, this makes me feel bad. It's sometimes it's that simple. If there's something making you feel a bit wriggly in your stomach, the room you're walking into, the magazine you're reading, your job, whatever it is, just listen to that. It's such a good guide. And again, it's such a battle every day, you know what I mean? This wild and precious life, that you have got to try and stack the deck in your favor and do that by being good, absorbing good, creative, decent, empathetic things. I have a glass of wine and I lie down.
That is all very, very good advice. Very good practical. I hope everyone's been taking notes.
On the plane back to London, Laura's words really got me thinking about the importance of community. She is continually looking for ways to open up the conversation with the readers and followers, something we endeavour at Wardrobe Icons. We'd be nothing without our Icons Girls community, so thank you for being part of it. And thanks for listening to iConversations. It turns out, talking never goes out of fashion. You can find more episodes of these insightful conversations with the women who inspire us on Apple Podcast. Please rate, review, and subscribe. It really helps to get the word out.